If there were any disciple of Jesus Christ who might be considered the greatest or the most important disciple of all, who do you think it would be? Would it be Matthew? I mean, after all, Matthew's gospel is the first gospel according to the biblical order. It was chosen to be first. Or would it be John? John, after all, is the disciple whom Jesus loved. Or would it be Judas? After all, Judas is the one who set into motion the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. Or would it be Paul? After all, Paul was chosen and was singled out to spread the news of salvation through Jesus Christ throughout the known world. Well, there are some people, in fact, there are many people who would suggest that the best answer to that question is the Apostle Peter. And there are some compelling reasons to believe that. And we're going to look at them as we begin today a series on the first epistle of Peter. But before we do that, I have another suggestion as to who is the most important disciple of Jesus Christ. I believe it's you. He holds you in the palm of his hand. He knows you by name. He elected to send his Holy Spirit to dwell in you. He loves you as if you were the only person on earth. It's not egotistical to think of yourself as the most important disciple. It is humbling. How then should you live? You should live as the Apostle Peter did. He devoted his life to Jesus Christ. His life was filled with embarrassment and mistakes. He lived a life that told other people about Jesus Christ. We should be the same. He lived a life filled with faith, filled with failures, like us. He lived a life filled with triumphs and defeats, just like us. He filled a life with some godly pride and with a considerable amount of humility, humble pie. Peter was all of that and more. And he wrote some letters that could read as if they were written directly to you and directly to me. Now, before we dig into 1 Peter, I want us to dig into the life of the man who wrote it. He was a lovable, impetuous young man, just starting out in life. Can you remember when you were young and you were just starting out in life? What were you like when you were a young woman or a young man? Whenever I prepare a sermon, I'm always looking into a mirror, and I thought, well, Harry, what were you like when you were a young man just starting out in life? Well, I remember being very lovable. At least, I thought I was. But I was also very impetuous. I really was impetuous. Peter thought he was pretty cool. I thought I was pretty cool. You and I have known many young men and many young women who thought very highly of themselves when they became young adults only to be shot down rather swiftly a few times when their words and their deeds prove them to be arrogant and impetuous. If you and I could see videos of ourselves when we were young men and young women, there's probably a number of things that we would love to redo and touch up and edit out of those videos. I think Peter was just like that, and I think that's one of the reasons that I believe you can identify with him so much. And when he writes this letter that we're going to dwell in for the next month, more than a month, I think we'll see ourselves in him. Now, Peter lived in Capernaum. Capernaum was a thriving town on the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee. And if you have been there, you know that the Sea of Galilee is not a sea. It's a very, very large lake. It's an absolutely beautiful place, surrounded by tall hills and mountains that are colorful. And Peter's home in Capernaum was right on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And of course, we know that the three most important factors in the value of a home is what? Location, location, location. Isn't that right, Hank? Yes, Hank's a realtor. That's why I said that. Not only did Peter live in the best zip code in Capernaum, right on the Sea of Galilee, but he lived with his family members in one of the largest homes there. The foundations and the ruins of Peter's home are still there today. Some of you have stood there, even with me, when we read stories about many of the things that happened there through Jesus Christ, right there on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, it was right there in that very house where Jesus Christ worked many of his miracles. So, Peter was not only impetuous, he was also a proud young man. But he was also a big shot in the community because everybody knew him. He and his family were successful financially. He was not poor. He was very well known. Now think about that. Think about yourself in reference to that. Most of you can brag about your zip code. Most of you can brag about the size of your home. Most of you can brag about location, location, location. And most of you are big shots in the sense that you are wealthy enough to be comfortable in this life. In fact, more than comfortable in this life. And I have no doubt that many of you have been very successful in your past endeavors. Some of you probably even made a lot of money. We are all like Peter. And here's something else that you have in common with him. We learn in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus Christ himself lived in Peter's home while Jesus was ministering around the Sea of Galilee. Well, guess what? Jesus lives in your home too. And how is that possible? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and wherever you are, he is. And he's here right now with you because he dwells with you, in you. He sent his Holy Spirit to you. And we've heard that before many, many times, but do you realize the impact of that, the importance of that, the value of that? We have a lot in common with Peter. The good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly. In 1986, within a fair walking distance of Peter's house, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, they discovered an ancient wooden fishing boat that had been buried in the mud under the waters of the Sea of Galilee. But in 1986, there was a severe drought in the Holy Land, and the waters receded, and a child came along one day and saw something sticking up out of the mud. And they came to investigate, and they discovered what was protruding from that mud was part of an ancient fishing boat. And so scientists and specialists were called in, and they carefully got that boat out from that mud, and they transferred that boat to a special tank filled with water and chemicals to preserve it. And they studied it, and they scientifically determined that that boat was 2,000 years old. And therefore, it was on the Sea of Galilee at the time that Peter and Jesus were there and walking around that boat. That boat today is beautifully preserved in a small but very modern museum. And many of you have had the opportunity to see it. And you're seeing it right now in your memories, I bet. Now, Peter was so well known as a successful businessman and a fisherman that they could have named that discovery the Peter Boat. But thankfully, they did not. They named it the Jesus Boat. And you can see the whole story of the Jesus Boat on the web today. Just Google it, and it will show you the discovery and how they carefully got it out of the mud and everything that I've just told you about. And you can see what it looked like right now. We don't know if Jesus Christ ever set foot in that particular boat. But we do know this from Luke chapter 5. Jesus Christ stepped into a fishing boat that was just off the shoreline in the Sea of Galilee. And he taught the people who were standing on that shoreline. Well, guess who the owner of that boat was? Peter. It tells us that he stepped into Peter's fishing boat and he taught. Now, how proud would Peter must have felt about that? Because Jesus was the most famous guy around at that time. How much more impetuous do you think Peter might have acted as the big shot? After all, he knew Jesus personally. They were good friends. Peter was indeed a big shot. Now, hopefully, you know Jesus personally as well. And I want to underscore the word personally, not just as a concept, but as your friend, as your brother, as your Savior, as your Lord, as your companion in life. Does that make you a big shot? Does that make you better than all the other people that you encounter in this life? Does that make you impetuous because you feel like, I know Jesus, he's my friend? Hopefully not. Hopefully it fills you with grateful humility to know that you know him personally and he knows you personally. What a friend we have in Jesus. It is the Jesus boat, after all, and not your boat that people need to see in life. Now, as you know, Jesus calls his disciples to leave their nets and to follow him. And guess who the first one was that he called? It was Peter. More bragging rights for Peter. He's a bigger shot now. As a matter of fact, Peter became one of the primary leaders of all the disciples. When the disciples' names are listed in the scriptures, Peter's name is first in that list. And later, Jesus gave Peter a nickname. You remember the nickname? Rock. He promised to build his church, capital C, upon that rock. Church, capital C, means you and me. We are built upon the faithfulness of the apostle Peter. Peter was very accustomed to being in first place. And some of us might say that about ourselves. How solid is Peter the rock? Well, he was the first person to say, I will follow Jesus Christ even unto death. But, as you know, he famously denied Jesus Christ three times when the going got really rough. Would you ever do that? Think carefully about your answer. Also, Peter was the first one to run to the tomb on that resurrection morning. And he was the first disciple to whom Jesus Christ revealed himself. And all that happened even though he denied the Lord. And after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, it was Peter who preached in Jerusalem to thousands of people about the salvation through Jesus Christ, about who Jesus Christ is. It was Peter who worked miracles around those people before their very eyes. It was Peter who spoke with authority, the Bible says. It was Peter who led the way in traveling to other parts of the world away from his home to preach about the salvation of Jesus Christ. Much later, Peter was in Joppa, another place that many of you have been, a little place right by the Mediterranean Sea near Tel Aviv. Peter was in Joppa, where God chose to give Peter a vision revealing that you and I, Gentiles all, not just the Jews, but Gentiles, were to be included in the kingdom of God. And so it was Peter who traveled from that little town, Joppa, up the coast of the Mediterranean and went to Caesarea by the sea, where he preached to the Gentiles there that they were included in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It was Peter who was arrested and put into prison, guarded by 16 Roman guards, when an angel appeared and his chains fell off. And miraculously, he walked out of that prison free to continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was Peter to whom Jesus Christ revealed himself after the resurrection again on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and had that great, great, great conversation with Peter in John 21, when Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, looked at Peter and he said, "Do you truly love me more than these?" You remember that conversation. You've probably heard of this before, but let's review it. Jesus asked that probing question of Peter three times. The first two times Jesus asked Peter that question, he used a particular word for the word love. And the third time, he changed that word. The first time he said, "Peter, do you agape me?" Agape. Some people say agape. That's the kind of love that is sacrificial love that Jesus Christ so perfectly demonstrated and that Peter witnessed. And Peter knew what Jesus was asking him. "Do you love me sacrificially?" And Peter turned to him and he answered honestly. He said, "Lord, you know that I phileo you." That's the Greek word for brotherly love. So Jesus asked him a second time, "Yes, I know you phileo me, but Peter, do you agape me?" And a second time, Peter said, "I phileo you." And on that third time, Jesus Christ again brought himself down to the level of honesty of mankind, and he said, "Peter, do you truly phileo me?" He changed the word. He stooped to our level. And Peter, we're told, was grieved. And he answered honestly again. He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you." That was a moment of true humility for a big shot. The person that some people think was the most important disciple came face to face with his humanity. And it was Peter who wrote to us a very special letter. One of the greatest letters in the Bible. Why did he write this epistle? There are two reasons. The first reason is that he wanted to give to you and me some of the practical consequences of living the Christian life. Not just knowing the Christian life, the Christian faith, not just believing it, but living it. Living it. And also, the second reason is that Peter gave us warnings about how we were going to face sufferings and grief in this life and helped us know how we need to be equipped to cope with them. Now, you may be thinking right now, well, I already know the consequences of being a Christian, and I already know that I'm going to face suffering and grief. I've been there, done that, and I know that that requires God's help. I agree. We do. We do know all of those things. But listen to this. I used to be able to speak French, but I haven't spoken French now for years. Don't ask me to have a conversation in French today. I would need a huge refresher course to be able to carry on a conversation in French. You might not know this about me, but I also used to know a little bit about how to play the trumpet and the violin. Don't you dare ask me to play either one today. I would need a huge refresher course to play them. It would be audible torture for you to hear me try to play either of those instruments today. I need that refresher course. Probably years of a refresher course. I've been a Christian for nearly 80 years. Some of you outpaced me, but I'm chasing you. I've been a Christian for nearly 80 years. I know a lot about being a Christian. But I find out, I'm sure you do too, the more I know, the more I realize I don't know. And I frequently discover how much I've forgotten. Like that trumpet and that violin and French. I need a refresher course. And you're just the same. We need a refresher course in Christianity 101. And believe it or not, there probably are some dear souls in this room right now who have never even graduated from Christianity 101. They need your help. They need God's help to even come close to where many of you are in your walk, your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is why Peter wrote to us. And that is why we are going to read and reread this letter from him. After all, Peter walked on water. At least he walked on water more than you have. Someone has said that this epistle is called, or should be called, the lovely letter. Lovely letter. Why? Because it was inspired by the heart of a pastor for his loved ones. Not my heart, Peter's heart. My pastor's heart is feeble compared to that of this fisherman from Galilee. And in part of this letter, Peter talked about an event that has not yet happened, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Yes, we've talked about that many, many times. Is there anything new for us to learn about the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ? Perhaps not. Or perhaps with new eyes and new ears and past experiences and new wisdom that God has given to us, we may indeed learn something new, something helpful something from God. Now, there are only 5 chapters in this lovely letter from Peter. And we could spend 5 months, I'm sure, on these chapters, but we're only going to spend 5 weeks. We're only going to spend 1 week per chapter in the coming weeks, just 5 more weeks. Can you spare the time for 5 more messages on this lovely letter? Can you spare the time for you yourself to read it? In between Sundays, rather than just coming here and sitting here and having somebody read it for you. 5 chapters. Is it worth it? I think so. Will you do it? I hope so. Just 1 chapter a week for the next 5 weeks. You can do that. Of course you can do that. And guess what? It will be worth it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us through your servants. And thank you for, the many examples for our lives from the Apostle Peter. And I pray, Father, that as we have started our preparation today to hear from Peter, that you will help us every day of every week for the next 5 weeks to grow in our spiritual lives through this lovely letter that you inspired him to write. So speak to us anew and afresh, maybe in ways we didn't even expect. In Jesus' name. Amen.